You're listening to Auto D, coming at you live.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Auto D Show here on Dave Pratt's Star Worldwide Networks, broadcasting from high above Camelback Road in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm your host, Otto Dagnolo, and tonight my guest is Molly Leavers, a filmmaker out of the UK. Her focus is on helping young people realize their potential, which is interesting as she's only 18 years old herself. I actually caught up with Molly this morning at her home in England and pre-recorded this interview for tonight's broadcast. You'll hear our conversation right after this track from the Fervor Records catalog called The Less I Love You by Francine Reed here on The Auto D Show. Check it out.
Special days, once too many times. Birthdays and Christmases, not even a card on Valentine's. Now I've gotten to the point where I'm about to say we're through.
The Less I Love You by Francine Reed here on the Auto D Show, which is brought to you in part by my good friends at Fervor Records and also by TheRecordingArtist.com, where I cut a new record with a different band every Wednesday night, and you can watch it happen live at TheRecordingArtist.com. Once we're finished, I post the new recording on the website, and then I make a TV show, which is available on Roku by downloading the free Roku TV channel called The Recording Artist, or you can also watch it on Amazon Prime. To learn more or get your band on the show, visit TheRecordingArtist.com. And now, here's my interview with filmmaker Molly Leavers. Well, first, Molly, let me welcome you to the show and apologize for my voice. I have a really bad reaction to allergies in the Arizona Valley at this time of year. So please excuse my voice and welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm lovely, and thanks for asking. This morning, you're actually talking to me from your home in Sheerness,
yep,
which is just east of London. Is that not correct?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of, I think it's like one of the closest coasts to London. I think I'm like closer to France than I am to like the rest of England.
Did you grow up in Sheerness?
No, we only moved here in September. But I'm like from the Midlands originally, and then I've just kind of like slowly made my way south.
Well, listen, let's talk about your filmmaking. It's interesting to me that you're only 18 and you've already directed and written and directed a couple of films. How young were you when you started getting into the film industry?
I started when I was 15. So I think next year will be 5 years, actually, which is makes me feel old.
Old? My gosh, you are not old. My stepdaughter is older than you are. In fact, my daughter is 43 and retired and just had her first child. Gosh. And making me a grandpa. And I'm in my 60s. So you are not old. Trust me, you have a long career ahead of you, which I think we're all going to enjoy watching. And speaking of that, already you have been nominated for the 2023 Positive Role Model Award for Age in the National Diversity Awards in the UK. How does that feel?
That was just kind of insane, really, because to be nominated in the first place was absolutely insane, because that's kind of like my main passion lies with kind of helping young people and getting them involved in filmmaking or kind of highlighting issues that they face or anything. So to be in a situation to be nominated for an award like that is just absolutely incredible. But I could read kind of people's nominations. Like, I wouldn't be able to know who it was, but I'd be able to kind of read what they were saying. And that kind of, I mean, I'm not a very like overly emotional person, but I just spent the whole night kind of in floods of tears reading what people were saying and everything. Cause it's so kind of, cause there were a few people that I knew, like just from the way that they type things or something, that I could tell, oh, that's a friend of mine or that's something. But kind of the fact that people took time out of their day in order to kind of like not only vote for me, but to say kind of really positive things and everything, that is, it's just, it's such an incredible feeling. And it's so kind of humbling, and I'm it makes you realize kind of how lucky I am to be in the situation that I am.
Well, when does the voting actually take place? When will you know if you've won?
I think that the voting closes kind of mid-May. And then I think that the shortlist gets announced about July, I think, and then there's like an awards thing in September.
That's very cool. I bet you're excited about it, and you're gonna have to keep me posted on the outcome.
I'm very excited. Yeah, I've been having a look at kind of the people that have been nominated, and there's so many amazing people. So kind of I'm not expecting to be shortlisted or anything like that, but just kind of being nominated is massive to me. But yeah, just kind of the whole process is really, really exciting.
Well, I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
A question for you as a filmmaker. A lot of times we draw from our own experiences. So you're 18, you're living on the eastern coast of the UK. Have you been out of the country traveling yet?
No, I haven't. The only time that I was born in Scotland, so I don't know whether that kind of counts, but no, I've never been out of the UK, but I'm hoping to soon. That's kind of, it's in the works.
Well, are you still in school?
No, that's all done now.
Well, then great. There's nothing holding you back. Yeah. We need to get you out and about. How much trouble is it to get to London and take the tunnel over to France?
Not at all. It's so easy.
I mean, go to Paris and go shopping. I mean, grab mom and dad and take a holiday.
We were looking actually, me and my family, because we're kind of big into history and everything, and we wanted to go and see the war memorials in France. When we moved here, we were like, oh, we're not that far, but we didn't realize how easy it actually is. You just kind of have to drive and then it goes, which is fun.
Yeah, and that's a great place to go, actually. I've been on the beaches of Normandy and seen the war memorials, and it's pretty cool. But let's get into film production just a little bit then. What do you find as being the hardest thing in relationship to filmmaking for you at this point?
I think that in terms of kind of like the production side of things, I think that kind of funding is always an issue. There's something that I'm working on at the moment that isn't a film, but it's more kind of like a project based towards young people. And I'm trying to kind of like get the local council involved and everything and see whether they'd be interested in funding it and in helping me kind of set it up. Because it's not something that I can just do on my own. It needs that kind of support. But that's always, it's very, very difficult to get people to listen to you. And it's very difficult to kind of get to convince people that it will work. So that's always a challenge. But then you just need one person to kind of like read your email and be like, oh, okay, let's kind of have a meeting or whatever, and then that's it. But I think personally as well, I think that I'm very hard on myself and I'm very kind of self-critical. So I think that can sometimes be difficult when it comes to films and everything, because people can watch films, but then I'll watch my own films and I'll be thinking, oh no, there's that bit that I need to change, or there's this that needs to be done. So I think it's kind of like, I think that's probably my biggest personal issue when it comes to filmmaking, the fact I need to like detach myself from it, if that makes sense.
Well, then let me ask you another question. In terms of the funding, I think that's brilliant that you already have, you know, organizations that you're trying to reach out to. Is there a lot of support from the film community? Are there resources that make it simple for young filmmakers to know where to go?
I think the thing is with the industry, and the most difficult thing is that it's so much about who you know, not what you know. And I think that's always going to be the way. And I think that's the way that it's going to be. But it can be very difficult, especially for young people from kind of like lower income backgrounds who don't have access to things like film school, who don't have that kind of like stepping stone per se. I think that it's so difficult for them to be able to get involved in that kind of that world. So that's something that I'm hoping to be able to do to kind of ensure that young people have opportunities regardless of their background, regardless of where they've come from or kind of their financial situation or whatever, that they have that access already. As long as they've got kind of like a passion for it, then I think that's enough. And I think that kind of helping young people get involved in film, it can be so like transformative, because it can be such like a creative outlet for people. So instead of kind of like getting involved in crime or going down that kind of route, then you can go down a different route, but still have that kind of like, still get all of them emotions out, but just in a different way.
In the beginning of your response there, you mentioned that you really think it's more who you know than what you know, and it's going to stay that way. I think that's something you want to remember and hold on to. So what do you do to meet the people you need to know?
I think annoy people, but in the best possible way. Do you know what I mean? kind of make yourself known to people, and kind of, it can be really difficult sometimes, because you kind of get in your own head and you feel really self-conscious about it. But just kind of like sending emails out to people, not asking for anything, just saying, hello, my name is such and such, this is what I'm doing, kind of thing. You never ever know where that's going to lead or what's going to happen from that. And just kind of like meeting other filmmakers and stuff, because you don't know, you could meet the next like massive huge director or something, you've got no idea. So it's just kind of like having that networking and everything, and kind of putting yourself in front of people.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I imagine that works pretty well for you, because it seems like you're smart and you're observant, and you already know all of these things about how you need to move forward. I think a lot of people may have a camera and not a clue, and they're not designed to think in that way, because their social, their ability to interact socially isn't maybe as comfortable as yours is. And so I'd like to ask you, are you one of many kids in the family? Are you maybe an only child?
No, I've got a younger sister, but I'm about 10 years older. So I was an only child for a bit, kind of like for the first half of kind of my childhood. But she's brilliant. I love her.
Well, that's cool. And are your parents involved in the arts in any way? Or how did this come into your life?
No, not at all. It kind of, I got involved in acting. Because my parents have never kind of done anything like that or anything apart from like when they were at school or something, so they've never kind of been involved in that world, but I got involved in acting, and then it just kind of went from there, and I realized that I prefer being behind the camera than in front of it.
Why?
I think it's because, I mean, I've always loved creating things, in the sense that, I mean, not like arts and stuff, because I can't draw, I'm not very like artistic in that way, but I've always loved kind of writing stories and like making up scenarios in my head and everything like that, so I think they just kind of like happened in that way. I'd always written kind of short stories and stuff, and I thought, okay, well, why don't I try and write scripts? I've never done that before. And then I just kind of like fell in love with it. But I think as well, kind of with acting, because it's you that's doing it, because you're in front of the camera and everything like that, you can be so like self-critical. And I think that it can kind of like take away from that a bit. But with filmmaking, I can look at it kind of subjectively, and I can have it portrayed in a certain way, and I don't have to watch it and be like, oh, I hate my hair, or oh, I hate the way I look, or or anything like that. I can just have it kind of straight from my brain, if that makes sense, rather than having all of the kind of self-consciousness that comes with it.
Okay. And when you're directing or shooting a film, right now, I would imagine your experience is that you're also the DP. You're the person with the camera. You're not just the director. Okay. So how much of the shot typically do you try to capture in the camera versus post-production, meaning lighting, time of day? Do you figure, I'll darken it later for a nighttime shot, or do you try to shoot your night stuff at night?
No, it's always kind of like, I always do as much on the filming days as I possibly can, because obviously like a lot of the actors, like, because I'm in Kent now, but a lot of actors aren't in Kent and they've travelled and everything. So I think if I don't want to have to like reshoot anything or anything like that. So I always make sure that I've got more than I need just in case. And I try and kind of make sure that when it comes to editing, then everything's almost done already. I've just got to kind of like tweak a few things and add and kind of switch around.
How do you feel about all the sound work in post-production? Do you replace dialogue, or do you use dialogue captured in the scenes?
I always use it captured in the scenes. I will admit, sound is the thing that I hate the most. It just kind of, it does not make sense to my brain, kind of editing sound and everything like that. I've tried it many times before, and I think it goes in one ear, goes out the other, and it just doesn't, my brain just can't wrap my head around it. So I definitely try and kind of like record it as kind of perfectly as I can get it on the day, so that I know I don't have to edit anything. I don't have to stress myself out.
I understand. So do you use a sound guy who's using a boom mic and mics on the actors, or are you using just your camera audio?
No, I've got a boom pole and a boom and a like Rode mic and everything like that. And normally it's on my most recent film, I had a first AD, and he was kind of holding that as well. So it was kind of, I always have a very kind of like close knit cast and crew, if that makes sense. So, yeah. So it's either like me holding it and someone else being behind the camera, or swapping roles or something like that.
How about music? Do you use music yet in your films?
Mm-hmm.
And so where do you get music and how does it impact your work?
So my most recent short, I contacted a young actress who I know called Anna Griffiths, and she also sings, and she's very, very talented. And she, along with a composer called James Cox, they kind of came up with a song. But this was before I'd even filmed. So I went to Anna and I gave her the script, and we had a few meetings to kind of talk about the theme of it and everything. And then she kind of went away with that, and she wrote a song and she performed it and everything. And it was so perfect for the film. And I still have no idea how she did it, because it was before she'd even seen the film. But all of her lyrics and everything were just absolutely perfect for the characters. So I was able to use that as like the soundtrack of my most recent film.
Cool. Isn't that fun? The music's a big part.
Yeah, definitely.
And then to even have maybe custom music where you get a musician who can watch the movie after you've edited it and sit there and kind of play strings or play music or make music for those moments. That's an exciting thing to start to play around in, you know, as a filmmaker. I'll offer you this. On my website, you can stream all of the songs I've put out on my own records. So I put a link in the chat to my website. If you want to go there and listen to it, you can use anything you want for free for any of your films, because I like you
Thank you.
It'll be good. Just let me know if you're going to and put a credit in there, and then I'll give you a license that says you can do it. So if you want, it's just to give you a bit of a library, because I know finding those free libraries or music that you can use can be difficult sometimes, and be happy to give you access to that.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think that my background in sound, I do a lot of sound work for filmmakers here in Arizona. And it's like, I just feel like, oh, I wish I could help you, you know, fix your sound for you. And yeah, because it doesn't have to be a horrible thing. It can be great. But it's very difficult to capture that on the set unless you have a lot of control, you know. And if you're shooting outside, then obviously you've got planes and trains and, you know, everything is in the way. So you almost have to do ADR, and then you have to add outdoor noise to replace the blankness, you know. So once you start doing it, it becomes a massive undertaking to replace the audio.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
What are you primarily shooting with? What camera?
It's a Canon M50, I think.
Okay.
With a Sigma lens that I always forget the actual proper name of it, because I'm terrible. I'm not very techie. Like, I know how to use it, but when it comes to names and everything, I'm awful.
Do you have just the single lens on the camera? Or do you have multiple lenses you change in and out?
I think I've got about two or three.
Okay.
But it's the Sigma one that I use the most for films. And then the other one, I think, is a Canon one that I just use for kind of like when I'm, because I have like a acting group and everything. So I use that to like film their performances and things like that.
Okay. Very cool. So tell me a little bit about your project Under the Sun. Or excuse me, Under the Surface. I'm sorry.
That's something that is kind of, it's very, very new. And we're kind of having a meeting about that soon to kind of get it up and running and everything like that. But it's kind of a youth-based project with a young filmmaker who also does a lot for kind of young filmmakers and getting people involved in film and everything like that. So it's kind of like a collaboration between us. So that's something that I'm really excited to kind of like properly start. So it's just kind of idea at the minute, and then we're going to meet and sort it out.
Okay. How many actors are going to be involved?
I have no idea. Okay. We're so early in
okay,
it. We're
cool.
Just kind of like...
All right. And then for The Love of Eve, which is a short film that you have finished, tell me a little bit about that particular project, where it was shot and how many people were involved.
So that was that's about kind of like county lines and everything like that, and the impact that can have on young people, not only them but also their families as well and their loved ones, and how, because that kind of came about that I was working with the police when I was living in Oxfordshire, and we were talking about kind of like issues that were relevant at the time, And I was talking about county lines and everything. And I was thinking, you know, I wouldn't get involved in that myself. But then I thought, if my younger sister kind of came to me and said, I need your help, I need you to get me out of this or something, I wouldn't think twice. And I just do it. So I wanted to explore that, the fact that it can be so, like, kind of drug dealer and everything like that, it can be so stigmatized. And it can kind of, you can look at someone who's dealing drugs and you can think, oh, they're a low life, they're this, they're that or something, but there's so much more to it. So that's what I wanted people to be able to watch it and kind of think, oh, you know, if such and such came to me and asked me that, I'd probably get involved as well. So it's kind of, it's exploring that. And we shot that in Kent. About 2 weeks after I moved here, actually, so it was very mental. But a lot of the scenes were filmed at the beach that's near my house, and a lot of the scenes were filmed in my house as well. And there were about 5 cast and crew involved, so it was a very kind of like small, close-knit group. But that was amazing. That was so fun. It was insane trying to get ready from like everything being in boxes to filming in like 2 weeks. But it was so, so much fun.
So right now, are you your editor?
Yes.
So what software program do you edit in?
So I use Final Cut Pro at the minute. I've used a few others, and I've used like Premiere Pro and everything like that, but that's kind of like the one that I've settled on for the moment. But I'm sure I'll change at some point. I'm always like swapping them around.
Yeah. Do you do any post-production colorization of the work after you shoot it?
Sometimes I do a little bit. I'm not very good in terms of like color grading and everything like that. It's still kind of something that I'm unsure of, that I'm kind of learning as I go. But kind of like basic coloring and everything like that, that's something that I do. And then hopefully I'll be able to learn how to do it more professionally.
Well, it sounds like, you know, you're going the right direction and you're learning a little bit of all of it all the time. And every single film is almost like film school. Every movie, mm-hmm. you learn so many more things, and you go, I remember the first film I made as a director, actually, I was, again, very independent, and I'm thinking, well, I don't need a script supervisor. What is that anyway? And then we tried to shoot like 20 short scenes in an office that one day we could have the office space to shoot mm-hmm. in, and to keep track of everybody and all of the lines and who's supposed to be where and what time, which day it was and what outfits. And I had a script supervisor that day, and it was someone who had never been a script supervisor. I said, would you like to be my script supervisor? And they said, what does that mean? I said, I don't know. I'm going to give you the script. Just make sure I don't miss anything. Once we started, I started telling, oh, that's great. And then why don't you give me this information and write down this information? That'll help me later. It's like mm-hmm. I kind of learned what the value of having yeah. someone. And then I thought to myself at the end of the day, I'll never do another film where I don't have a script supervisor on set. Mm-hmm. But you learn that by diving in, you know, and it sounds like that's yeah. really where you're mm-hmm. at.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So what are you hoping, what do you look forward to? What's the next thing you really want to wrap your arms around in terms of a project?
There's something very, very exciting in the works at the minute that I hope can kind of happen. It will be kind of like the biggest thing that I've ever, not like a feature in terms of length or anything, but it'll be kind of like the biggest project that I've ever done. And that's something that I'm really, really excited for. And that's kind of come off the back of something else as well, so it's just kind of like snowballed a little bit, but fingers crossed for that, because that's, if that happens, then I think I'd cry because it's so exciting. And then it's trying to get, because I live on an island in Kent, which is a bit weird, but there is, I think there's about, I can't remember how many people are here, but it's not a lot. It's kind of, but there's a lot of young people here and there isn't a lot for them to do. So I'm hoping to be able to kind of like set up a filmmaking hub here. Because there's a few things around Kent for young filmmakers, but obviously we're really far away from the rest of Kent. So it's like 40-minute drive or something. Obviously, not a lot of people can drive. Not a lot of young people can drive. So kind of building something here that's accessible for young people that live here, that's kind of the next project on the youth-based side of things, but then also film as well. If that happens, then...
That's exciting. Let me ask you another question. You're 18, and you're very, very focused on youth and helping youth. It seems to me most people tend to start getting focused on youth when they're looking back on their career and they realize how much of a struggle it was to get there, and they want to, you know, they want to lift people up. You're gaining that focus really early in life. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because I think kind of there's a lot of things that have kind of happened over the years, like I kind of in terms of like being bullied at school and mental health struggles and everything like that. And
you were bullied at school?
Yes.
Oh, that's awful. I hate that.
Yeah, so it kind of I think it's things like that and kind of realizing the impact that things like that can have and realizing that at quite a young age from kind of like traumatic experiences, kind of realizing how impactful things can be. And then I think it's kind of the fact that I've started earlier than kind of most people in like in the industry, the fact that I started when I was 15. And kind of when I started, there wasn't a lot of provisions for me to be able to kind of like say, okay, how do I do this or anything. I just kind of threw myself in at the deep end and kind of was like, I'll see what happens. So I think it comes from that. I think it comes from going through those experiences and realizing the impact that it can have. So wanting to kind of like highlight those issues and wanting to ensure that the other young people don't feel alone, because even though I've got like a brilliant family, I still felt alone during that time. So I thought, well, if I didn't have my family or if my family weren't as supportive as they are, then I can't even begin to imagine how I'd feel. So I think it's kind of like knowing that and everything and knowing that I want someone to be able to kind of like watch a film or to hear something or to go to a workshop or something like that and be able to say, okay, I'm not the only one, you know, it's not just me and there's other people out there who understand. And then I think with film as well, it's just kind of like making sure that other young people feel like it isn't unachievable, because I think it did seem very, very unachievable when I first started, because I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what to do or who to talk to or anything like that. And it's literally been a case of I've learned as I've gone. So I want to be able to kind of use anything that I've learned. And obviously I've only been doing it for like 4 or 5 years. So there's still so much for me to learn, but being able to kind of harvest everything that I've learned so far and being able to help other young people make their goals achievable, then I think that that's where it comes from. I think it comes from just wanting to make sure that people have access to more opportunities and that people can kind of come out of bad experiences and kind of achieve the things that they're capable of, but they just need kind of help doing it.
Well, Molly, at your age, to have that point of view and awareness thrills me. I think it's going to serve you very well. So I'm excited for you. Very excited for you. And speaking of excited for you, I've been speaking to many people about how excited I am for this upcoming generation of filmmakers your age who were born with a phone in their hands, you know, with a camera, and been making and editing video on their phones and being storytellers in a public forum like social media their whole lives. I can't wait to see what you guys are doing, you know, in your 30s and 40s in terms of storytelling and creating. I think that we're headed to a very, very exciting time in filmmaking and storytelling.
Definitely.
And you're going to be at the front of the line.
Thank you.
So listen, now let me just talk about music, because I like music and I have an interest in what you're interested in. I don't know any 18-year-olds in England, so this is like, oh, I can ask her some questions, you know. For example, as a young person in England, are the Beatles relevant to you?
they are to me, but I've always had a very kind of like different music taste to people my age.
Right.
I think I've always kind of, I've always listened to, like, my dad has always kind of, as I've been growing up, he's like drilled music into me and have been like, you need to like this, and right. kind of, instead of like hip hop and rap and everything like that, I've been brought up on like the Beatles and Oasis and all of those kind of bands.
Okay, that's very interesting. And would you say that other kids your age or other young adults your age, is it cooler to not like the Beatles?
I think it's come full circle now. I think that it's kind of cool to like kind of older music-ish, okay. or kind of not like new things and to like more kind of different things. I think that there's a lot of, I think it has come full circle. Like, people are wearing flares again. And
I know, it's crazy. I have a stepdaughter who just walked in to say hello and heard us recording, and she froze and walked back out. She's almost 19. So, and she works at a thrift store where people drop off donations and then they sell the stuff and the money goes to an animal rescue. But she can buy stuff that gets dropped off at a discount. So she spends her whole paycheck on clothes that people drop off. And she always comes home and then goes in her room, she comes out doing a fashion show with everything she got, yeah, you know.
I do the
for
same.
$2.50, look at these. And she's been getting all of these big bell-bottom flares that are fringed on the bottom that we used to wear, mm-hmm. you know, when I was a kid. So it's just so comical and kind of beautiful to see that look again. I think that's a really cool yeah. look, you know, mm-hmm. that whole vibe. So as far as music goes then, do you listen to a lot more local, or should I say UK artists, than you do American artists?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, my all-time favorite band is Red Hot Chili Peppers, so I oh, think really? That kind of, but then I really like I like First Aid Kit as well, and I think that they're Norwegian or Swedish or okay. something. I mean, obviously they sing in English,
right?
So I think it's kind of a mix, really.
Well, then maybe I can impress you for a second. I did one little bit of work on a Red Hot Chili Peppers record. I recorded Billy Preston playing the organ on Stadium Arcadium.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I've been a record producer and engineer for 40 years, so I've worked with lots of people, you know, mm-hmm. in the music business. So
it's, oh, God, that's amazing.
I mean, you're 18. I've been making records for 40 years. So you've got a lot ahead of you, you know, where you're going to go. So to me, it's exciting to think how level-headed you are and where you're at to see what you're going to be doing. You're going to be around for a long time, and I wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you.
Now, if people want to get a hold of you or follow you, what's the easiest or best way?
I think probably social media. So that's all just kind of like Molly Leavers across everything. But I do have a website.
Let's spell your name for everybody, since they're only going to hear this.
So it's MOLLIELEIVARS. I had to remember how to spell my name.
That's funny. It's a lot of L's and E's and I's right there in the middle.
I know, yeah. It's kind of, I always blame my parents. My surname is really hard to spell. And then obviously most people called Molly, they spell it with a Y. But my parents gave me it with an IE, so it's hell, really.
No, I think it's great. I love it. It makes it a little bit different, you know. Cool. And so on social media and your website is, do you have a website with your name, or is it Spirit Productions?
It's spiritproductioncompany.co.uk, and then there's always like news and stuff about stuff that I'm doing kind of like outside of the production company as well.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking this time to chat with me today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to see where you're going to go and what's going to happen. So I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Is there anything else you'd like to say? You've been listening to The Otto D Show, where my guest has been filmmaker Molly Leavers. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.